49ers Fancast number 70 for November 30th, 2011.
Montana rolling out the right, looking toward the end zone, throwing under pressure, throws his pass, caught by Clark! Clark got a touchdown! Clark, Clark has it! It's a touchdown for the 49ers!
Montana, at quarterback, in motion, comes right. Back to throw, Montana. Steps up, throws.
Hey, everybody. This is Indiana Jim. My apologies for a truncated intro. Didn't have time to go the whole rigmarole. Got three games to talk about. And I know it's been since November 9th. I'm sorry, but stuff happens. My dad came to visit. We had Thanksgiving. Had all this stuff just going on. So didn't really have time to sit down and record anything. So now I do, and here I am. Your wait is over. And so we had the game against the Giants, we had the game against the Cardinals, and then the road game against the Ravens. All three of those things have happened since I talked to you last. And so here's what we saw against New York. All the questions about, can the 49ers go out and win a game without Frank Gore? Resounding yes. Can they win a game with Alex Smith going out and throwing the football? Yes, they can. Yes, we can. We are the 99%. Okay, I'm sorry. So I'm lapsing into these weird chants. But anyway, we now know this team can beat a good team with Alex Smith throwing the football. Now, before you get all, oh, well, New York has lost like two games in a row, and they look terrible against the Saints. Well, yeah, and they did. But, you know, it's the 49ers have rendered certain teams almost helpless, almost catatonic. They're just amazed that they lose to the 49ers. Witness the Eagles, the Lions, the Giants, Tampa Bay. They looked pretty strong until they got blown out 48-3. So what have we seen the last 3 weeks? Well, we've seen a team. It looked like they were working out the kinks in the passing game. They were almost forcing the issue. They wanted to get that passing game going. And what have we seen from it? Well, we've seen them go away from the tight ends because they're trying to work the edges. And I think teams, of course, are keying onto the tight ends like Vernon and Delanie Walker. So they move away from the tight ends and they start attacking the edges. So we've seen Crabtree become Alex Smith's most reliable target all of a sudden, which is kind of weird. It didn't start out that way, but here we are. Crabtree's finally exhibiting that ability, that significance, I think, that we all expected from him. Now, there were a lot of people that expected bigger plays maybe out of him, and maybe those will come later. We've started to see Alex Smith hit more stuff deep. We've seen him try to work Braylon Edwards in, but apparently he's nicked up from the Skins game with a bum shoulder. So I don't know what's going on there. But I think they've been trying to work it out with Braylon. They've been trying to get that on-field chemistry with him and Alex because they want to have that deep threat when the time comes to play in the playoffs. So they've been working him out. And I think that's why you saw them go away from Kyle Williams and try to work Braylon in. And I also think a lot of this was in preparation to go take on the Ravens, because I think Jim Harbaugh wanted to attack downfield. Problem with that is, you can't attack downfield when the right side of your offensive line is collapsing. And one of the worst plays, I think, most indicative of their struggles. And I said this when the Bears played, was it the Lions? Whoever they played at home, and Jay Cutler would drop back, and as soon as he hits that back foot on that drop, he's got guys in his face. It was the same exact thing with Alex Smith. He would do a three-step drop, and the Ravens would... And the Ravens? Really? Three-step drop... Braylon. Three-step drop, and the Ravens were there. And the one play that was indicative of this was you had Shiloh in the game, and you had this big rush on the right-hand side, and Haloti Ngata and whoever the defensive end, they do a cross stunt. And Frank expects Chilo to pick up one guy. He figures, well, I'm going to go get the guy to my right here. The outside linebacker's coming in. And Anthony Davis is rightly picking up the guy going to his right. Well, he takes Anthony Davis way outside. Frank looks at the guy on the right, sees the guy on the left because Shiloh completely whiffs on him, hesitates, and then Smith gets hit. And it was one of the things where who do you trust more in blitz pickup, Frank Gore or Shiloh Rochelle? Who do you figure knows his responsibilities better? So it's Shiloh. And this is just, and beating their heads against the Ravens' brick wall all the second half. Because they knew exactly what they were attacking. They knew exactly what the 49ers had in Shiloh Rochelle, and they attacked it. And they attacked it hard. And whenever the Ravens see something that they can attack hard, it's over. And Alex literally had no time. The other play that was indicative of the struggles on the offensive line was the grounding penalty. I have never seen a play, I think maybe ever, in my whole years watching football, where I have ever seen a play that intentional grounding was the right play. Never seen that. There was literally nowhere to go with the ball. Nobody was open. He had no time to set his feet. He had no time to even get a good enough ball to reach the line of scrimmage. That's how hard they rushed him. Now, it actually looked like the way he was backpedaling that they were trying to set up a screen. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. And the Ravens just took it away. And the Ravens, kudos to John Harbaugh and his staff for figuring out where the Niners' tendencies were. But it was more than figuring out the tendencies, because they didn't really have to do a lot of coverage things. And Alex talked about this. He said, they gave them a lot of different fronts and did a lot of different things with their coverages that they just weren't prepared for. And I think part of that, it just goes straight to the short week. Now, a lot of people will say, well, we can't make excuses because you still got to play the game. Well, yeah, but we talk about it in baseball all the time, don't we? We talk about pitchers going on short rest. And don't we excuse the pitcher a little bit? Well, he was going on short rest, so, we wouldn't expect him to have his best stuff. Well, honestly, looking at it objectively, you do not expect, and no one expected, the 49ers to have their best stuff on this short week, going three time zones to the East Coast on Thanksgiving into somebody's pumped-up home stadium, especially one like M&T, in Baltimore. That place is loud. And the minute they get anything that they can latch onto, they will be loud for all game long. And they just plain got beat. And there's not anything wrong with that. You never like to see your team lose. But if there was a game they were going to lose, that's probably it. And I think I said that a few weeks ago. So we have a team that's 9-2. And, you did have some people with that inevitable panic mode. Like, oh my gosh, the Niners just got exposed. No, we just have reinforced something we already knew, that Shiloh Rochelle is not a starting right guard in the NFL. It's pretty simple. It's not hard. We also established that, hey, Braylon's not really 100%. So is Kyle Williams going to take that place? I don't know. We'll see. But I do know that they have been working out that passing game. And what I would expect them to do is, at this point, I think they have a large enough sample that they can really stick with what they do best and really pound the rest of the NFC West back into the dirt. And honestly, the one game that concerns me that's left on the schedule is Seattle. Because, we haven't seen, the New York Giants game, first half was outstanding. Second half, Alex didn't have a very good third quarter. Came on in the fourth, and they won the game. It did pretty good in the fourth quarter. Against the Cardinals, it was sort of like, I think they took it like a scrimmage. And that's the thing with these division games, is there's so much energy, there's so much emotion. You look at Vernon didn't really look like he was in the game. He looked more like, and he does this against the Cardinals all the time, where Calais Campbell or Darnell Dockett or one of these Cardinals, Adrian Wilson, gets in his head and he forgets what he's doing. And we've seen him, you know, lose his temper. All the times that he loses his temper, we didn't see him lose his temper much this game. But all the other times that we've seen him lose his temper or lose his cool or lose his mind, it's been against Arizona or Seattle or St. Louis. You know, it's been a division game. And Vernon didn't really have his head in the game. Crabtree, though, was fine. And, you know, look at, I think, the first half of that game, there were, somebody documented it, I think it was Grant Cohn of the Press Democrat, documented at least five balls that were just plain dropped in that first half against the Cardinals. Now, the Niners still ended up winning 23-7. They weren't really pouring it on. They looked like they were working out some kinks, trying to force some things that didn't necessarily need to be forced. And then you look at the Baltimore game. We've already kind of talked about that. So the offense hasn't been looking great. You know, they've been sort of hitting a little bit of a dry spell. And, you know, you can look at the Washington game. That was, you know, another East Coast road game. You look at the division game against the Cardinals. Slow starting, pulled away at the end. Division rivalry matchup. And, of course, the Ravens was what it was. So now we've got the soft part of the schedule except for the Steelers. Everything else, we got four NFC West games and the Steelers. And that includes two against the Rams. So this very next game is home against the Rams, then away at the Cardinals, home against the Steelers, away at the Seahawks, and away at the Rams. And the one game that worries me the most, Pittsburgh, that'll be tough, but it's at home. It's on Monday night, so they get 10 days to play the Rams. Then they play the Cardinals? Then they play the Steelers on December 19th. And that could be pretty rough, obviously. They could lose that game, but I expect them to be much better at home. And a lot of people are kind of like, oh, no, Snyder's out for the Rams game. Well, okay, you get the Rams at home. If there's a game you're going to let Shiloh Rochelle start, it's got to be the Rams at home, right? I mean, if any. If there's any game like that, unless it's the Colts at home. They don't have the Colts at home, so they get the Rams. So you want Snyder healthy. We want Snyder healthy, right? We don't want him to push the issue. So keep Snyder inactive. Keep him out of the game. Play Kilgore if you have to. But no, don't kill Gore, please. Kilgore, don't let Frank Gore get killed. Okay, you want to rest Snyder for this game. We absolutely want to see Snyder rest for this game because we need him 100% for the Steelers. Steelers kind of can be inconsistent, you know. Kansas City almost won that game at home against the Steelers. Tyler Palco in the fourth quarter looked amazing until he overthrew for that pick to end the game. In that fourth quarter, he looked like he knew what he was doing. And, you know, Polamalu, we see him get hit in the head and he goes out of the game. And the Steelers' defense is getting old, and they're going to be coming across the country. Monday night game, fired up home crowd. When Candlestick is fired up at home, well, of course, fired up at home, it's Candlestick. When the Candlestick crowd gets fired up, they're pretty loud. They can be loud. So I like the 49ers' chances going against the Steelers. The Steelers' defense is not quite what the Ravens' defense is. They're going to have to get to Ben Roethlisberger. That's one of the things they're going to have to do is get some pressure on the quarterback, figure out what they're doing, because the game plan against the Ravens didn't work. Letting Flacco throw the ball didn't really work. Now, he didn't kill him by any means, but it was enough to beat the 49ers. So they're going to have to make sure everybody's healthy for the Steelers, because protection, that's kind of important playing Pittsburgh. So it'll be interesting to see Frank Gore pick up Polamalu on a couple safety blitzes. That'll be exciting. And hopefully, we'll get Bruce Miller back. If he needs to rest an extra game, let him rest for the Rams game, too. Go into Arizona and get him and Snyder back in the game. So we do have to remember that, too. Snyder goes out, and Miller is out against the Ravens. That's not your best squad there. Two critical guys in the protection game right there. So, after the Steelers, it's a Monday night game, and then they got to go play Saturday night, Christmas Eve, at the Seahawks. Late December game, could be some precipitation, it's going to be cold. That's only 4 days rest. Now, luckily, it's just a trip straight up the coast. So I don't see that being as much of a problem as going all the way over to Baltimore. Plus, Seahawks, not quite as good as the Ravens. They did beat the Ravens, but that's because the Ravens got sloppy and they fumbled the ball five times. Can't do that against Seattle. So I think the Niners will win that game, but that's the one that would worry me the most, is again having that short rest going on the road in a place that's pretty hard to play, and weather could be a factor. I like the 49ers finishing 14-2, possibly 13-3, either the Seattle game in a stinker or the Pittsburgh game. And we're going to see a lot from these 49ers. Now, they had to lose a game in here somewhere. I mean, you didn't expect them to go 15-1. I sure didn't. I didn't know where the losses would come. Figured the odds were good against Baltimore that there would be one. You know, a lot of people said, well, everybody loves Jim Harbaugh and the players play for Jim Harbaugh and everybody loves each other because they're winning. So what happens when adversity comes? And that's what we're seeing now. You know, you had an 8-game winning streak, you lost a game. How do you bounce back from that? I say 10 days rest and playing the Rams at home is a pretty good opportunity to bounce back. Now, I'd like to see them run up the score. You know, I would like to see Alex Smith have one of those 124.5 rating games like last year. Last year, he's still playing for Mike Johnson as the coordinator and in the Jimmy Ray offense and still killed him. So this year, I would love to see them just steamroll the Rams and just get the offense off the schneid. Use this opportunity to be perfect. It won't be perfect because Shiloh's going to be on the line, but still, the opportunity is there to play the best game that they possibly can. Right? Right. Really not a whole lot to say after all of this. We've talked the football. There's not really any issues lingering around the team that really are problems. It's like the air is clean. There's fresh air around this ball club, and you can't always say that after a loss when it comes to this team. And it's just a weird feeling. 9-2. The loss was kind of you kind of expected it. And yet I don't feel that panic, like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this team? We know what happened. We know exactly why they lost. So that's the biggest issue, is the offense, is seeing that consistency, is seeing it become solid. You know, it was solid for a while because they were doing a lot of the run game, a lot of the play action. It hasn't been as solid because they've been working out the passing game. I think that they've been trying to add more things to see what they can do. Now, Alex hasn't been bad by any means. They just haven't been completely in sync. And this game, he played better against the Ravens than he did against the Lions. Outcome was worse. But, you know, you look at that last drive, they still had time if they could go down and get a touchdown to get possibly an onside kick and do something with it. They had time. If Ted Ginn catches that first down pass, gets out of bounds, they still got a minute left on the clock with enough timeouts. And that's like at midfield. That's just past the 50. There was time to do something. But, you know, we don't get to see the end result of it. And, you know, they just came up short in this game. And I think what you're going to see, you know, a lot of people are like, oh no, are they going to relapse into, you know, boring, unwatchable 49ers? I don't think so. Because you got to understand, the Giants came in with a lot of confidence and really took it to them in that second half. And the 49ers had to withstand the storm. The Cardinals came in with a lot of energy, defensively speaking, tried really hard. The offense kept giving the ball to the 49ers, and their defense always plays pretty hard against the 49ers. So I wouldn't be worried too much, honestly, right now. Let's see how they play against the Rams, make sure they score a lot of points. That's what we want to see against a team like the Rams. Let's see them beat the Steelers at home on Monday Night Football, and we'll see at that point. After they go on the road against Seattle, if they can be good and score points and win that game, then I'd say we have a real good idea of what they're going to look like come the playoffs. Remember, the Seahawks were 7-9 and at home beat the defending Super Bowl champions in the postseason. So And the Niners were pretty close to pulling that game out at home against that very same New Orleans Saints team. So let not your heart be troubled. The way it looks right now is the 49ers are still the number two seed. They still have a one-game lead for the second seed in the NFC. Maybe even a two-game lead. I don't remember. Somebody's 7-4 or 8-4 or something. I don't remember. Anyway, and the Niners are 9-2, so that would make them a two-game lead. Is anybody 8-3? I can't remember. Anyway, they're pretty much in the driver's seat for that second seed. Now, what about the Packers? Are they going to lose a game? Because you look at the Lions game, and I had said I agreed with Mike Golic. I thought that the Packers were going to lose on a short week going into Detroit. Here's what happened. You go in the locker room at halftime, it's 7-0. You're Detroit, it's 7-0. You got to be glad. You got to be happy with what your defense is doing. I was like, you know what? Packers are getting tested. And they really were. And Rodgers wasn't entirely on his game. And that was mostly probably because of the rest thing. But we saw the Lions defense play a very, very good game defensively speaking. Now, where they lost it was the minute Ndamukong Suh, they held the Green Bay Packers to a field goal attempt. It was going to be 10-0. That was it. It was going to be 10. Only 10 points. And the defense just had a major victory holding the Packers out of the end zone. And Ndamukong Suh, probably the biggest idiot in the NFL at this point, pushing on the Green Bay Packers O-line's head, pushing it into the turf, gets up and then stomps on his arm as he's walking away. Has a two-game suspension without pay now. The minute he did that, lost the game. Because what happens? As soon as they get that stop, guess what? Personal foul, half the distance to the goal, first and goal for the Packers. Of course they're going to cash that in. It's 14-0. He took the wind right out of that team's sails by being a moron. And lost the game right there. Because they were in that game. And he's there, you know, he's the heart of that defense now. He takes himself out of the game by his own stupidity. Packers go, the Lions go 3-and-out. You know, the crowd's kind of out of it at this point. Lions go 3-and-out, I think. Or did they score a field goal? I can't remember. Anyway, very next play of the Packers' ensuing drive is a, what, 70-yard, 65-yard touchdown. And all of a sudden, it's 21-0 when it should have been only 10. So that's where the Lions lost that game. It wasn't because the Packers were playing great. So they got to go into New York, I believe, and play the Giants at some point. Not saying the Giants are like the perfectly suited team to beat them, but I just don't see the Packers going 16-0. Now, does that mean they're going to lose two games? Doubtful. Because here's what they have. They got to go play at New York, which, honestly, they could lose that game. Giants defense has got to be there. They can take advantage of the holes in the Green Bay defense. They really can. This is going to be a test for the Packers. That, you know, they love to throw the ball so much that that Giants pass rush is going to be ready. So I think the Giants match up really well with the Packers here. Am I going to predict a loss? No. Because, I mean, they got Aaron Rodgers. They're the best team in the league right now. So that'll be tough for the Giants, who have lost two straight. Then they get the Raiders at home. They're not going to lose that game. Then they play at Kansas City. Pittsburgh losing at Kansas City was a distinct possibility the way that team was going. They're probably going to have Kyle Orton at that point. I just don't, you know. I see the Packers pulling away. Now, could get some crowd noise and get a critical turnover, and possibly that game could go the Chiefs' way. You get one of those weird losses, like, what just happened? You know, that kind of thing. Then they play the Bears at home. Not going to be a problem there, I don't think. Then they get the Lions at home. Again, this is a team that would probably be undefeated at home, so I think it's probably safe to say the Packers will come out of this with the number one seed. even at 15-1, even if they lose a game, which I fully expect them to. Now, they could surprise me. I don't know. But anyway, but there's only one other team that really matches up well with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC, and that's your San Francisco 49ers. They really do match up really well with the Packers. You got an okay offense versus a bad defense. You got a great offense versus a really good defense. That's a good matchup, and I think I've said that before. Does that mean I think the Niners are going to beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game? No, not necessarily. They still have to win their first playoff game in 9 years. So, you know, they got to get there first. And this is the first time they've had a winning season since 2002. Next step, clinch the division for the first time, which I expect them to do on Sunday. The next step after that is secure the number two seed, which is just phenomenal, just amazing that we're having this discussion. But don't lose. Win, you got to win out to keep your hold on that number two seed. They can still get it if they go 13-3, but better to win out, right, and keep that momentum going into the playoffs. Get that first round bye. That's the next step there. Then win your playoff game. Who's it going to be? You know, who are you going to end up facing? The way things stand now, you got your Green Bay Packers number one. You got your 49ers number two. You got the Saints would be the three seed. Okay? Your fourth seed is your Dallas Cowboys. Now, after that, it looks like Atlanta and Chicago. Could possibly be Detroit there. Won't be Tampa Bay. Won't be Carolina. So it looks like Atlanta or Atlanta and then Chicago and Detroit. One of those two as your two wild card teams. So your, let's see, 49ers would get the bye. They would play the winner of the 3-6, depending. If the Saints beat the Falcons or whatever, whoever the sixth seed is, the Saints, the three seed, if they beat the sixth seed, they go to San Francisco. If the sixth seed wins, they end up going to Green Bay. And the other one, 4-5, you know, depending on the better the seed, the better seed goes to the two seed, and the lesser seed goes to the one seed, because that's kind of how that bracketing works. So, you know, they could draw the Saints, or they could draw between, you know, the Bears and the Cowboys. One of those. I think. Yeah, something like that. So, in all likelihood, they would probably play the Saints, because the Saints, I think, would draw the Falcons at their place. Which you never know. That could, you know, could end up going the Falcons' way. If they drew the Bears, not a chance. If they drew the Lions, I doubt it. I think Atlanta is the best equipped team to beat the Saints in the Superdome. Now then after that, then you got your NFC Championship game. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. For now, it's the LA Rams. St. Louis, whatever, you know. So, you know, I really wish they would move the Rams and the Raiders back to L.A. It just worked. L.A. Raiders, L.A. Rams, it just works. LAR, you know, L.A.R. or that R. L.A. Jags, it doesn't quite work. Unless you got the car. You know, if it's the car Jaguars, then yeah, it works. Really, the Rams and the Raiders should go back. I really think so. Let the Jaguars go to St. Louis. That would, well, I don't know. What do you think? Who knows? Whatever. Let the Arizona Cardinals go back to St. Louis. Let the Rams go back to L.A. Let the Jags go to Phoenix. Right? Yeah. No. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. And you know that there are certain ways to get in touch with this show. Number one, best way to get in touch with me, honestly, Twitter, at 49ersFanCast. You can do that. You can also follow me at Indiana Jim for usually football unrelated tweets if those interest you at all. If you want to get your voice heard on the show, which by internet really is being a problem right now because I don't really actually have any, I'm using a neighbor's, not really reliable. Voicemail line is, and I can always get them on my phone and play them off my phone, 3477-GO-NINERS. That's 347, the number 7, G-O, the number 9, E-R-S. You can call that voicemail line and get your voice heard on the show. Oh boy, I've been talking a mile a minute, and I think I'm about done because it's 8 o'clock. And that doesn't mean it's time for bed. It just means recording time. We're done. So thanks very much for listening. Keep listening. And, you know, keep your chin up. One loss against the Ravens, that's, you know, it was bound to happen at some point, people. Come on now. Losing at home to the Rams, it would be a problem. But hopefully we won't have to do. I am so sorry. I just shrieked. That was just a little weird. That would be a problem. See, is that better? That's much better. So anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.